Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Julie.
We are the Backseat Producers. You're listening to Backseat Reality.
We've made it to number 6.
Indeed. So what are we talking about tonight?
Tonight, I thought we'd start with The Voice.
Okay.
Since it's been over for almost a week. And then tonight we tried out Love in the Wild.
Yes, we did.
And then we need to fill everybody on Expedition Impossible from last week.
Uh-huh.
And then, woohoo, granddaddy of all reality summer TV shows.
Big the Casey Brother Anthony, starts. The Casey Anthony show?
Oh, yeah, that too.
No, we're not talking about that. I'm done talking about that. I'm sick of people talking about that.
No, Big Brother. Big Brother 13 starts Thursday.
Unlucky 13.
That could be fun. I'm surprised they aren't doing that. Yeah. It's like their,
you would think,
their theme thing.
You would think. That would make too much sense. We'll talk about that later, though. We have an order tonight. We're actually going to try to follow it.
That way, if anybody gets bored with one show, they can fast forward.
Yeah, hopefully,
and know where we're going next.
Yeah, hopefully, if I've done this right, I'll actually put some show notes in here and give some timestamps of when we start and stop talking about the different shows. That might help.
Okay.
All right. So, The Voice. Let's see, when last we spoke, they had given...
Last on Backseat Reality.
Yeah, they had given the... They had done the final performances.
Yep.
The four people who were...
Javier.
Bev, Dia, and Vicky.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a whole lot else. I mean, they did some performances.
They each got paired up with a star.
Which was... Okay, I guess that was...
They were good performances.
Moderately
Beverly's
interesting.
Beverly's wasn't very good. It was with the guy from One Republic.
Yeah. When it got down to it, they announced who the top two vote-getters were. And it came down to Dia and Javier.
Who were both my favorites. I was excited.
Only one of those was my favorite. That was Dia. Who apparently won in iTunes sales, which... Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, if you're voting with your wallet, that if you're actually paying money to vote, that seems like you should get a little more weight to your votes. But apparently they were they weren't too far apart percentage wise in votes, and Javier won.
Yep. Yay.
So the voice is over.
Voice is over.
It sounds like all four judges are back on for next season.
And they're going on a summer tour. Well, not the judges.
And hopefully the judges have a little more spine next year. And aren't so... I mean, it was a decent enough show, and it was fun to watch. And I'll tell you, the talent was a whole lot more evident in this show than in Idol. Overall, I think the talent in the top eight was superior.
Idol was good this year. They had a lot of really good
I didn't watch it, Idol, this year. Because in past performance... leads to expectation of what is going to continue. And past performance was, it only got down to the top eight, and then there would be one clear winner who would get voted out. And the nice thing about this show is it was fashioned in such a way that they really could save the people who deserve saving.
But they didn't really.
They didn't. They didn't do it, but they could have.
Late last week sometime, maybe it was before the finale? After the finale. I saw a repeat of Leno that Blake Shelton was on, and it was right after he had saved Senya. So it was Dia and Senya.
Right.
And Jay's like, oh, it was really controversial. You didn't save the two guys, or one of the two guys. And Blake was like, oh, come on. As a gentleman, could I stand there and not let that little girl go through? So it was like, he was admitting. It was a joke.
He treated it as a joke.
I don't know. I don't think it was a joke. I think it was more...
They did not take it...
He wanted Dia to go on, and so the second person didn't really matter. And so might as well pick the little 16-year-old who was going to get her feelings hurt if she didn't go on.
There was one
that
judge...
That seemed more the interpretation.
There was one judge that took it seriously, and he won. He took it seriously as a competition,
yeah.
And he won.
And he was here this weekend. I heard the concert got canceled, though, because of the rain.
Mm. So, The Voice is done for the year.
Yep.
One less thing to talk about. But we added something new to the list. What's next on our list?
Love in the Wild.
Which is something new that we've added. We just started watching.
I haven't decided if it's worth keeping up with, but I'm sure I probably will.
Yeah, I don't know how much there's going to be to talk about. We can talk about like the competitions, but even that those were kind of toned down versions of every other reality show.
How the show started. It was 8 guys, 8 girls. And they, was it 8?
No, it was 10.
Oh, it was 10 each?
Yep.
Okay. And they had the girls each go over and pick a guy. And that was going to be their partner for this first leg of the race. amazing
for
race
their first adventure.
First adventure.
That was their terminology is that this is their first adventure.
So they all have these tasks they have to complete. They have to make a raft. They have to row down this river. They have to go find water and something in a tree and go climb this thing and kiss on camera and then go check in at the pit stop. What did they call it on this? Checkpoint, something. And then the winning team got like a really nice villa to stay in. All the teams ended up having to spend the night
together
that night.
They get to stay in the Oasis.
The Oasis. And they actually seemed kind of into each other. They were smooching quite a bit and some of the other teams just really weren't getting along. One girl made the guy sleep on the floor. Everybody else was just kind of putting pillows between them and stuff. Then they get up to the elimination, and that's where it got kind of tricky.
Yeah, that was... It was. I don't think it was as tricky as it could have been.
It could be.
It could have been a lot more dicey.
There's a potential for gameplay later when they're more into it, and they've figured out more who people are. But they go in order of how they arrived at the checkpoint, pit stop, whatever.
Right.
The first team gets the chance to go first, and they can choose to either stay together, or the guy can go first, since the girl got to pick first, and say whether he wants to stay with her or not. They chose to stay together. Then they go to the next team, and the guy can choose, do you want to stay with her or not? And, or you can ask one of the other girls if she wants to pair up with him.
Right.
So most of them ended up pairing up with new people.
Yeah, I think they realized pretty early on that if you are offered to pair up with somebody,
then you've made it to the next round, because as soon as you're paired up,
well,
then you move into the couple.
If you accept...
Right.
If you don't accept to be paired up with that person, you can say no. And that person is then considered rejected, and they get put into a pool of people to be chosen from later.
Right. But so what happened was that the first one stayed themselves, then all the rest of the next 6 couples?
The next 7 couples.
All chose to stay together. Then it gets down to the last 2 couples, and...
I'm sorry, it was the next 6 because... Then there were 2 couples. Then the 8th couple was brought up. There were 2 couples left sitting.
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
No, that's right. That's right. The 9th couple came up.
Uh huh. And the guy could choose the girl from the other team, and that would have basically met his previous partner, and the extra leftover guy would be booted.
If she accepted,
which of course she would, because then she'd be guaranteed to stay. So that couple ended up staying together, and the couple that came in last was booted. So it sounds a little complicated, but when you were watching it, you could tell there could be a good opportunity for some gameplay to split up couples.
There is actually a potential of gameplay I can see for the second to last place team. If you have 2 couples at the end, you can actually game the system so the last place team stays.
Yeah.
Because if the second to last place team, if the guy says, you know what, I reject my partner, I choose you, and he chooses the woman of the couple, she says no, then he's rejected, she's rejected, and so both of the 9th place team people are considered rejected.
Oh, yeah.
And then if the 10th place guy says, I want to stay with her, and she says, I want to stay with him.
Yeah, that's
true. Then they pass along.
Yeah.
So there's a potential that you can really game that system at even somebody in the quote-unquote lower level.
The bad thing about this is with all of this couples changing around, I'm totally never going to learn who anybody is. Because I basically learn them by couple. Oh, that's the guy with the... Can I say bad words? With the witchy partner and the wimpy guy or the ugly
bitch.
Guy. Okay. Bitchy partner, the guy with the big nose or whatever. But now that they're constantly switching it up, I can't keep track of who anybody is. It's like there's one guy with a douchey beard. There's one dude with an upside down smile.
There's a guy with douche beard is.
So I like Blackbeard. Yeah. The pirate douche beard.
Oh, he's got that pencil thin jaw beard that's just.
And then there's the one with the douchey name, Steel.
Steel.
I know the guys more than I know the girls. But that's funny because I knew the guys more and you knew the girls more. Because I'm like, all these girls all look alike. You're like, no, they don't. They all look completely different.
Yep. Yeah, so I think this one will be a little more interesting when you get to... I honestly think that last section is going to be more interesting than anything. The competition...
If the people are smart enough to figure out strategies like that.
I think a few of them are. I think a few of them are game players.
Maybe a couple. The rest of them seem kind of airheaded.
I didn't say all. I said a few. I was very clear about that.
But it has potential and it's fun. I mean, it's a fun little summer time waster. And it's not necessarily all a dating show. There's still kind of the survivorish kind of elements to it where they're having to run around the jungle and do challenges and stuff like that.
One of the cool things about the challenges is that even if you lose the challenge, that doesn't mean you've lost the game. You're not kicked out because you've lost a challenge. Now, if you show up last at
the pit stop.
If you are the first place team, you basically have immunity.
Right.
Regardless of if you stay together as a couple or not. Now, you can...
That was the other thing about the first place couple. If they had chosen not to stay together and wanted to pick somebody from the other couple, other couples, that person could not say no to you.
Right. They could not say no, but... they were automatically advanced to the next round.
Mm-hmm.
So, because those top two people basically have a pass because they won as a team. And then the interesting part then is the order placement of the teams gets to decide whether you are the one picking who you want or the one you're stuck there sitting wondering if you're going to get picked, if your partner's going to get picked away from you,
right.
You know.
I would guess next week the girls at the elimination ceremony, whatever they're calling it, will be the one to get to go first.
Quite possibly.
Because this time they did the guys since the girls were the original partner selectors.
Yes, in drama next week there's an ambulance.
I don't know if that was next week. They were saying this season.
That's true. At some point, there is an ambulance. Go figure.
There's always an ambulance on a reality show. There's medics or an ambulance.
Actually, if you are unaware of this show, it airs on Wednesday evening. So by the time this episode comes out, you'll actually be two episodes behind.
I think it plays again on Saturdays.
Oh, okay. Well, you still have a chance to pick up the second episode then.
Because I think I had to erase another... No, because it wouldn't have recorded our DVR.
No.
Maybe I'm thinking Expedition Impossible. Which is our transition to next. We're going to talk about Expedition Impossible.
Yep. So we had the second episode of Expedition Impossible. And the episode was called Light My Way. They have cutesy little titles based on the challenges and whatnot.
Amazing Race still has the best titles of their shows, where they pick out some hysterical quote from some team and make that the name of
and
the episode.
Out of context,
those are
quote.
Awesome.
Yeah, the out of context quotes are always nice. Now, in this episode, they started off with they traveled.
They had to travel by horse.
No. At first, they travel on foot to the horse outpost.
Oh.
Then they ride Arabian horses 7 miles. To the Casbah.
They were so pretty. But it was hysterical watching some of them on horses. I mean, people were literally falling off of them, making the horses fall over.
Yeah. The country boys, who in the first episode ended up in seventh place.
They gained some serious time.
They ended up, I think, in first by the end of this leg. First or second. They ended up really high in the riding the horses stage, at least. Another thing that I kind of liked about this show versus The Amazing Race, it's too easy not to make comparisons to the two.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I liked was the order placement determined when you were released to go, but they didn't use real-time order placement.
Like, this one leaves 20 minutes after this one. This leaves 2 hours after this one.
Right. Amazing Race, they take it based on the time you arrive at the
The pit stop.
They call it pit stop. Expedition Impossible calls it checkpoint. They don't take it by real time. So if Team B arrives 20 minutes after Team A, they don't wait 20 minutes before they get released on the next day or the next 12-hour period or what have you. In this, they did the first place team got to leave. Then there was like a 5-minute delay. And then a couple of teams. Well, it was two or three teams. Then they did groups of four.
Yeah.
And they waited some nebulous time. We didn't really see how long. The way they edited it, it almost seems like there was only a couple of minutes, but it like less than a minute.
Yeah.
But it had to have been at least a couple of minutes. And that was probably just to avoid choke points. They're running over, you know, weird terrain, so they probably didn't want people climbing over each other.
Well, they probably, logistically, probably just can't film that many people. I mean, if you let all of these people go at the same time, and then we're trying to be at the horse corral or whatever, they just would not be able to even film anything. And they'd be filming their own cameramen. And yeah. So that could be part of it, too.
Yeah, I did like that it kind of, it kept it somewhat even, but it still gave a penalty for showing up in last.
And a reward for being first.
Right.
Yeah.
So once they reached the Casbah, they had they got to choose buckets and use the buckets to gather water, fill an urn, and the...
A plastic tube with a message would pop up.
Right. That would be the next check that would give them the directions to the next checkpoint. The trick with this was that there were larger buckets and smaller buckets. The smaller buckets did not have holes. The larger buckets did. And the as it turned out, there were a couple of teams that wised up and realized that... I think at least one team, and I'm trying to remember now which one it exactly was, that they had found some plastic bags laying around. And they jammed them in the cracks and lined their bag with plastic bags.
One tried
bags.
To line the bucket with his shirt.
Yeah. What a twit. Here, I'm gonna jam my shirt into the crack. And
I never
water
did figure out
how many
trips it would be. Like, is it three trips with the little one and only one trip with the big one? Or how many trips it would be?
The team that used the plastic bags to fill the cracks and to line the thing, they took one trip with the big bucket. So the smaller buckets probably took two or three. They didn't give a good sense of how long they had to travel with them.
Yeah.
But after that shook out, they got a map to the next area. And...
They had to go inflate a kayak.
Yes. Yes, they did. Each team member inflated a kayak. So it was individual kayaks were inflated and sent downriver. Some of the people of larger size had a lot of problems because...
Had their butts dragging on the riverbed.
Yeah, because they were dragging ass on the riverbed.
What was it? The one team was joking about the gypsy porn stash guys. And was Joe, when they were riding the horses, he was saying something about him being skinny and barely weighing 120 pounds.
Yeah, he was.
And then his ass was dragging in the river.
Yep. Yeah, so some of the larger guys, like
the country boys, the firemen,
some of those guys had a really difficult time because they literally were dragging ass.
Because the river was just really, really shallow. I mean, they weren't sinking. The river was just that shallow.
No, and then once it got moving, there were some areas of rapids where it would get
some
really shallow again.
Over.
People would flip over.
One guy went under a log. There were some native kids sitting on this log, and he just went right under the log, under the kids, flipped over.
And then one of our favorite teams, No Limits, was involved in that. And they actually talked to some of the other team members instead of just Eric, the blind guy, and they were talking to them, and they seemed genuinely concerned how he was going to make it downriver, because they had the special challenge of they had to kind of guide him along, because he had no sense of where he was going. He was just set in this kayak and was going. So they had to kind of guide him along as well.
They didn't seem to follow them very much. And when we got done watching it, we were even saying, where did he go? Did they give him some kind
they didn't show
special
them.
Task or something?
Yeah, they didn't
we
show
never
them
saw him
at,
in the water.
Hardly at all. They talked about it. Those guys talked about being in the water. but they didn't really show it. So I don't know what happened there. That was a little unusual.
Yeah.
So when they get to the second checkpoint, the challenge was they had to travel through this village, find the craftsman's hut, and inside were a bunch of lamps. And they had to put a lamp over their flashlight, and there were the hoods of the lamps, some of them had holes in them, and the way the shadows fell, it would illuminate their next location. So they had
if they picked the right lamp.
Right, they had to pick the right lamp. They had to pick the right lamp and then orient it in the right direction. So they had to spin each lamp around and figure out exactly where to go. Eventually, they found that they had to go to, I think it was the old bridge.
Yeah, that's what the map would say.
Yeah, and so they had to go a couple miles downriver, or upriver, whatever. But they had to walk. I mean, they were no longer in kayaks. And they traveled along the river. And
most of them didn't seem to have any problem. There were a couple teams that got turned around. Either they didn't go far enough and thought they'd already gone too far, and they turned around and just got themselves completely turned around and confused.
Right.
That was the policeman.
Yeah, the trick of it was that there was a campsite just off the river that was walled off, that if you didn't know to look for it, you might not have realized that was the finish line for this leg. And a few of them just flat out missed it and went all the way to the bridge. Once they got to the bridge, they could see, hey, that's where we're supposed to go, and ended up making it there.
But the police didn't even make it to the bridge before they got turned around and were walking all over the place.
Yep. So, as it turned out, the gypsies, the porn stashes, ended up in first place again. The country boys came up from seventh and got all the way up to second place. Their horseback riding skills really did help.
Even if they had big behinds that sunk in the river.
No Limits moved up from sixth to third. The Football Players dropped from third to fourth. The Fab Three from second to fifth. Fishermen are in sixth, Team Kansas in seventh, Grandpa's Warriors in eighth, California Girls. Team Kansas was the sisters, the blondes,
red shirts.
Yeah. California Girls in ninth, the New York Firemen in tenth, the Cops in 11th, and Mom's Army in 12th. And that's how that one ended up. So, last, and I know, at least especially for you, not least.
Yay!
Big Brother! And as of this recording, it's 2 days from now, Big Brother's back. If you are listening to this the day it drops on Thursday, you still have time to watch the inaugural episode for the season. It will air on Thursday night, tonight, as this episode drops.
So far, they've been dropping all kinds of hints. They've announced, say, eight of the cast members. They've showed off pictures of the newly remodeled house. It looks the same, just new decorations. They're doing, like, a Venice Beach theme. One of the bedrooms even has an ice cream cart in the corner. And they've, like, fenced in the stairs up to the HOH room. And the bathroom's all remodeled. And there's a graffiti wall over in the backyard. Same pool, same duck in the pool. And they've released one of the twists is going to be that some old duos are returning.
Boo.
Yeah. I kind of wish it was just all new people. I don't like the element of, already knowing people's gameplay and trying to go after the old people that comes in with that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of it in a lot of these shows. In a show like Amazing Race, it's not quite as big a deal because there isn't quite as much team-up gameplay that you can do. There's a little bit you can do, but there's not nearly as much that you can do.
You're just still bitter over Russell and Survivor this year, where he got teamed up and booted out.
I didn't like the fact that Russell and Rob came back. I'm kind of tired of it. It sounds like they're doing it again with the next season, too.
I've even heard who they are.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Oh, we did? Oh.
Yeah. Porn Ozzy.
Porn Ozzy.
So we've got a little bit of information about some of the cast, because they haven't released who the returning players are going to be.
CBS has teased it, but now I've heard an interview with one of the producers, and she said that's just, you know, entertainment. It's not necessarily the people that are being put in. But the returning duos that are out on the site to vote on are Brendan and Rachel, which would be horrible. Dr. Will and Mike Boogie.
Which would be equally horrible.
Jeff and Jordan, who I love.
Which would be terrible, and I may just vote before I got the show.
Hayden and Enzo from last year.
I remember liking Enzo. I remember him being kind of a jerk, and I'm liking him because
Jesse and Natalie, who would be horrible. And I can't think of the last
Dick
one.
And Danielle.
Oh, Dick and Danielle. Dick would be good. Danielle would be horrible.
I like Dick. I when Julie was telling me that this voting thing was going on, I posed the question, can I vote for Enzo and Dick as a couple?
That would actually be fun.
I think those two would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Because they would stir up all kinds of trouble.
Enzo was never really one to stir up trouble. Everybody liked him.
Yeah, but he could stir up trouble.
He was very subtle about stirring up trouble.
That's fine. He can still
not
stir
like
up
Dick
trouble.
Running around slamming pots and pans in the middle of the night just to make everybody mad. Take the target off his daughter.
That's awesome.
So those are the potentials to come back. May not be for sure. They're announcing it Thursday when everybody goes in the house. But the new cast members have to know something's going on because they've been in since at least last week, and they know there's only 8 of them. So they have to know something else is going on. And if they've ever watched the game, they have to know it's something like this.
Yeah, and the only other notable thing about the cast so far is that it is noticeably non-white. Compared to last season especially was...
Yeah, was they got a lot of criticism for that.
Sparkly white.
Okay, let's see who these people are.
All right, Keith Henderson is one of them.
He's from Illinois. Woohoo!
Yeah, they've said that there's another twist, and I have a feeling that some of these people might know each other. And I noticed that
maybe
Keith Henderson and
Luan
are both from Illinois, and in areas that would be close enough that they probably knew each other at some point.
Where's Keith from in Illinois?
He's from somewhere up north. I don't think it says
on this
listing, but I did see something that was up near Chicago. And Luan is from Urbana, which...
Woo, U of I.
Yeah, is where U of I is.
I-L-L-I-N-I. Oh, sorry.
Potentially, Keith could have gone to school there.
Yeah.
They could have known each other at school. That is not a stretch.
Keith is a human resources manager, and he says he has a lot of charm backing him up. Which means he's probably an ass if he's saying things he's charming. He hopes to be easily trusted by his fellow house guest, and he's confident he'll be able to handle any kind of attitude that comes his way.
He wouldn't mind being in a showmance.
Oh, he's also religious. We're going to have people having a Bible study group again.
All right, moving on. Luan Exum. I guess that's how it's pronounced.
He's from Urbana and then moved to California. He's handsome-exy. What the heck does that mean?
I wonder if that's a play on his name and handsome and sexy. I don't
Maybe.
Really know.
He's an exercise buff and is proud of his gift of gab. Oh, goodness.
He looks like he has an extremely large forehead.
He does.
Next, Shelley Moore.
I don't like her hair.
She's an old one.
41. That is old for this show.
She's from Ohio, and...
Oh, she wants to take on the role of leader. She's going to be gone first week.
Yep.
That's what always happens. If you could take on the role of leader, boom, you're out of here. She'll miss her family, but she'll keep her head in the game.
She won't miss her family long.
I'll just see what else they said about her. Cassie Colvin. She's pretty.
She's a model.
Oh, well, no. Wonder why she's pretty. She's stubborn but laid back. Do those really go together?
Yes. I don't want to get out of my recliner. Leave the remote alone. I am enjoying this program that just happened to come on after the program I was watching 3 hours ago.
One of her weaknesses may be her lack of knowledge on the show, since she was merely approached to try out. She's going to be bad because she's not going to understand anything about how the show works.
Which could be interesting. She could come into it not knowing the gameplay. If she's a pretty girl, she'll get dragged along.
Well, and that's true.
If
she makes friends with somebody in the house that does watch it and can tutor her, I mean, they have nothing but time to sit around and talk about everything. Yeah. They can talk about the show and, you know, old gameplay and
it wouldn't take
Nicole
long.
And her five-finger plan. And
it wouldn't take long to teach somebody the strategy involved.
Because there's not that much. Kalia
Booker. She's a writer. I actually looked her up because I was curious to see if there was something she had written, because it states in her bio that she's a writer. I did find that she was like Miss Mid-State. She was she tried out for Miss Mid-States in like 2005 or 2006. So she was apparently tried the pageant circuit.
She likes talking to people and find it hard to live without social networking. Well, you're like basically living in a social network. It's not like there's going to be a shortage of people to talk to.
Yeah, but look at me and how much I'm on Twitter. And imagine ripping Facebook from you, away from you.
I'd be fine with that.
Facebook
if
and Google Reader.
If I had 12 other people to talk to. Yeah, Google Reader would be harder.
Yeah.
I'd lose touch with all my blogs, all my mommy people.
Yep.
You know how many babies would be born in the course of a summer from my mommy blogs?
Moving on.
Oh, goodness.
Dominic.
Briones.
A 25-year-old college student and professional model. I wonder if he's been going to school this whole time, or if he took some time off to model.
He doesn't watch the show either. Uh-oh. He's a fan of honest gameplay. Yeah, he's going to be gone, too. Him and Cassie are going to be gone.
Yeah. Or they could team up. They could team up as the people who
don't
know
anything about
doing.
The show. The flying by the seat of their pants team.
Adam Pooch.
I like this guy already. He's 39. He's got a big old beard, bald head.
He's an inventory manager for a music company.
And again, he says he's known for joining the...
No, that's their bio, the way they write the bio. I'll edit that out. That's a stupid way they write these bios.
Gotcha. But none of the others said that.
Yes.
Oh.
They all say what they're known for.
Oh.
Like some of them were known as being a model. Yeah, he seems like somebody
who... since the first season, and he watches the live feeds.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be trouble.
He has quite a temper. Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah,
screaming at people?
He'll be out soon, because he's going to be somebody who... He knows how this all works.
Yeah, he'll get too much in people's face or something, probably.
And finally...
Your favorite.
The VIP cocktail waitress, Portia Briggs.
Is that code for something Struggles. Else?
I said stripper.
She said she's going to lie to everyone about herself. I guess she won't say she's a stripper.
I wonder what she'll get away with trying to get people to think she is.
Neurosurgeon.
Just a waitress. Just a waitress. I get tipped very well.
She might get distracted by characters she dislikes the most. Bulky guys who can't think for themselves.
Wow, what?
That's very specific of her.
That is ridiculously specific. You had a problem with big guys? Maybe big guys were just a little wimpy.
Is that all of them?
That is all of them, thankfully.
And then six other people that we don't know yet. We'll find out on Thursday.
But that's not the only twist.
There's supposed to be two more twists.
No, they said there's three surprises. I think the three surprises are the three couples that are...
Oh, yeah.
Semantics.
Yeah, you're right.
I speak semantic.
I think that's about everything for this week.
Yeah, it was a short week. We didn't have the Glee Project. We did
with the holiday, Bachelorette, and Glee Project
The Bachelorette. Next week could be big. We could be looking at a 5-show week.
Wow.
We may have to cut some fat. I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
Like what? Like Bachelorette?
Maybe.
No.
Or Big Brother.
Bite your tongue. Holden's watching with me.
He can record those sections with you.
That would be fun. You know he'd do it just to get to stay awake for another 10 minutes.
Yep. All right. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay. If you would like to join in on the conversation...
Please do.
We have comments on the website. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Danny.
We had Samuel Brigson on Twitter said that he listened to the show. And because of listening, he started watching Expedition Impossible and The Glee Project.
We should get a kickback from these networks.
We should.
For driving traffic to their shows. One more person. Look at that.
We get
how much more ad revenue for them was that? 1/18 of a cent
for that.
Hey, every little bit counts.
That's 2/8. We now have 1/9 of a penny. Congratulations.
Should I thank Danny for my geography lesson?
Yeah, Danny pointed out that in the last episode...
Someone was a little confused about Morocco and Monaco.
Yes.
I'm not saying who that might be.
But it wasn't me.
I'm surprised she didn't call me out on the dark days are over, too.
Yes. Because I even said, it's the dog days. You're like, no. It's dark days.
And then the next day, I'm reading Twitter, and I'm seeing all this stuff from Danny about how she loves the dog days are over. And I'm like, oh, I think I'm wrong. Because Danny doesn't tend to be wrong about that kind of stuff.
No. You can follow us on Twitter. It's really easy. Tony Mast, Julie Mast. So tough.
And backseat producers. Oh, no, better in the back.
Better in the back.
And that will get you to all of the backseats.
Everything.
Global domination.
Backseat productions. Backseat productions. As I like to call it. Yeah, we have backseat reality, backseat quickies, backseat producers, backseat box office, and the backseat box office results show. So we have 5 episodes a week.
You're crazy.
We are prolific.
You never sleep.
Screw Big Brother. We have more content every week than that, if you don't count the live feeds.
I'm not living on TV 24 hours a day, though.
No.
That's going to be the next thing you try and do around here, isn't it?
No. Ustream is too buggy for that.
If it would get you content, you'd do something like
that. I might. That. Hello. I mean, you never know. And we actually have somebody in the chat room.
Who's that?
That's Jeff Bailey.
Hi, Jeff.
We've been recording on Tuesday nights. If you want to listen in on the live recording, follow us on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter because you'll probably actually see it then. Just follow Tony Mast on Twitter. And normally when I start the live feed, I shoot out a tweet to let you know that we're on. And it includes the link so you can listen in as we record. You can hear us fumble through recording for like 3 hours that gets edited down to like 25 minutes. We do not record for 3 hours.
I would be asleep by then.
I have to edit out a lot of snoring.
Yeah. That's not true. You're rotten.
All right. See you guys next week. Buy a copy of my short story, Leaving My Life in St. Louis. It's only 99 cents. Barnes & Noble and Amazon.
What? You are a shameless self-promoter. Oh, my God.
Hey, it gets us money. Chill. You'll be thanking me when we get 5,000 people giving us 35 cents a piece on those things.
Should you thank Jeff for your 35 cents?
Damn straight. Thank you, Jeff. I thank people all the time. I actually encourage them to send in voicemail and tell us what they think. Tell me what they think about the book. I'll play it on the Backseat Box Office Results Show. I am that shameless.
You are. You are completely shameless.
Shilling for sales, shilling for comments and reviews. Yep.
I guess I'm grateful that's all.
Domination. All right, we're done.
Okay.
See you next week.